Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this Air France message. With Air France, your journey to France begins when you set foot on the plane, starting with a complimentary glass of champagne in every class. And in business and la première, savor a five-course meal with cheese and wine and unique menus created by some of the greatest French chefs. Enjoy a taste of France before you arrive. Bon appétit. Elegance is a journey. Air France.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We are less than a month away until the first real MLB game gets underway. Orioles start their season in Toronto before coming to Baltimore to host the Red Sox for their home opener. But about to be the month of March. The madness is upon us. And joining us right now, Ariel Epstein. And Ariel, let's start with baseball. What are a couple futures that you're keeping an eye on?
Guys, I am absolutely loving some of these make-the-playoff futures, especially for a team like the Detroit Tigers. I love the Tigers this year because, first of all, they've got a great manager with A.J. Hinch. This is a top-five bullpen, and I am a sucker for a good bullpen. I mean, Orioles fans all know that because that's kind of what you guys are banking on right now. But anyway, I'm looking at the Tigers for making the playoffs in plus money. This is a team that last year ended up beating the Houston Astros in the wild card series and went to the LDS, sent it to game five. They've got confidence, too, going in. The Royals, they're another team, too, to make the playoffs. I like the Tigers more to win the division, solely because of bullpen and manager, and that's around plus 270. The Royals make the playoffs, though, also at plus 110. Their lineup got better, added Jonathan India to the leadoff spot. The Royals actually had the worst leadoff on-base percentage last year, way under 300, and India's career 350 on-base percentage. Then he's in front of Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, the Royals' bullpen. Well, that was the problem last year, ranked 20th in ERA, but added Carlos Estevez in the offseason. And Hunter Harvey, if he's healthy, great setup man. So looking at those two teams out of the Central have some value in the playoff market.
Yeah, we ranked the divisions in the American League last week, and I'm with you. I love the Tigers to win that division. I think there's a lot of value there. Garrett Crochet is a guy we've talked about a fair amount on this show, and I think he may be, Ariel, like the wild card in this whole division. Like, if he's the guy they had in the first half there in Chicago last year before the bottom fell out on the season and they started sort of basically just kind of manipulating his starts to keep him healthy because they knew they were going to trade him because they couldn't extend him. Like, if he's the first half guy, I think the Boston Red Sox are the second best team in this division and a surefire playoff team. Are you wagering on the Bo Sox at all?
If there was a team that I had to take to win the AL East, you can get the Red Sox at 3-1. It would be the team I'd go for. You mentioned getting Crochet. They also got Walker Buehler, which is huge for the depth in the Red Sox starting rotation. And plus, Lucas Giolito should return from that surgery on his right UCL. Garrett Whitlock, he's going to go back to that role in the bullpen. He dominated there in his rookie year with a 1.96 ERA, so he's good for bulk innings. Hendricks, slight favorite to be the closer. The bullpen was the issue for the Red Sox last year. So if Hendricks can be like back to the form he was in 2022, then the Red Sox have a really good shot at winning this division. And pitching wins championships in baseball. So for me, Yankees and Red Sox have the better pitching for this division right now. The Orioles, I will tell you this, everything in me wanted to bet the under out of anger on their win total because I was like, all right, this team, all they needed was a number two to Corbin Burns, and they were in the race for a World Series. I'm not going to let my heart speak to me, though. I really trust Brandon Hyde. He's dealt with much worse starting rotations and somehow got the Orioles to still be a 90-plus win team. If the Orioles are in contention and we hit trade deadline, the Orioles better make a push for a big name number one, and then they're right back in this thing.
We're speaking to Ariel Epstein. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Ariel, let's get to some of your plays in the NBA. The Nuggets are heading to Detroit, taking on the red-hot Pistons. What's a player prop you like in that one?
Jamal Murray for the Nuggets over on his points. This morning, I took it at 20.5. It's up to 21.5. I used to hate back-to-backs until I realized, oh, I could just go back and look at all of the back-to-backs and see how players did on the second leg. And now that we are past the halfway point of the season, we do have some decent sample sizes. Murray, in the 7 games he's played on the second leg of a back-to-back, is averaging just over 21 points a game. In the 4 games he's done a second leg of a back-to-back against a team that's good in rebounds allowed, which I know is like a crazy weird stat, but it just means that maybe since a team's top 10 in rebounds allowed, someone like Nikola Jokic doesn't have as easy of a time putting up points. So Jamal Murray could be that person, and Jokic is also such a great big that he could help defend the paint and open up those lanes for Murray. So Murray, to me, would be the player I'd look at tonight over on his points.
Big one between the Cavs and the Celtics, the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. I kind of like the Cavs money line first quarter. I don't have much else cooking on this game yet. What about you?
We aren't talking enough about how amazing Kristaps Porzingis has been this season, especially defensively. He's limited opposing bigs to 14 points and 10 rebounds, which I know 10 rebounds is double digits, but still, when you're talking about some big name centers, like a Jared Allen, 10 is not a great game. It's an average game. Jared Allen under his rebounds tonight's where I'm looking. His last game against the Celtics, Allen had 17 points and 18 rebounds. When I see uncharacteristic things happen in a matchup, typically they don't happen again.
Right.
That's what I'm looking at against Porzingis. He's not letting Jared Allen get to him on the boards again, take his under 11.5 rebounds.
She's Ariel Epstein. She joins us every single Friday. But Ariel, where else can the people find you?
Check me out at thepropqueen.com. Subscribe to the newsletter. All this great trends and all these different tables I make of trends, really useful for betting props.
You're the best, Ariel.
Thank you.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys.
It's Best Bets with Beltway Ben Hall on 105.7 The Fan.
That was impeccable timing there,
Jason.
He's on
Jason. It.
That was
He's
impeccable
on it.
Timing. What bets you got, Ben?
I got one college basketball bet and then 3 in the NBA. Start with college. Purdue -5.5. UCLA's had some road struggles this season. I mean, they've won a few, but that was USC, Washington, and Oregon. All 3 of those are on the West Coast. Purdue will be ready to go tonight. I said it earlier. They lost 4 in a row, called a players-only meeting. And of those 4 losses, 3 of them are on the road, and then 1 was to Wisconsin, who might be the best team in the Big Ten. This game means a lot for Purdue, so I think they cover, win outright and cover. Donovan Mitchell over 31.5 points and rebounds is my first NBA play. Mitchell's cleared this number in all 3 games against the Celtics this season. This is a guy who loves these type of matchups. He's either going to go way over or finish short. I think he's going to score 30 plus again. He's done that in all 3 games against the Celtics as well. And he loves going against Jaylen Brown. And there's always the hype with Tatum and Brown. I think Mitchell has his way tonight. Next play is Jaren Jackson over 22.5 points. Knicks are allowing 28 points per game to opposing power forwards in their last 7. That's the most in the NBA. We've seen Jackson take a big jump this season. Yep. Memphis has Ja Morant playing like he's Dennis Schroeder or something. And Memphis has had a ton of success, so you can't really question it. They've been awesome all year. But Ja's not taking games over scoring. They've needed other guys to do that. Jaren Jackson has stepped up in a big way. He's very good at home, 52.1% from the field. And Desmond Bane's questionable. So if he's out, that number should move up a point or two. So I like him over 22.5 points. Last play is Mike Conley, over 5.5 assists and -140. Anthony Edwards is out with suspension, which is trash. That's a whole another conversation. But Jazz are allowing a bunch of assists to opposing guards this season. They've been really, really bad defensively. Mike Conley will see more minutes tonight. He should play anywhere from 26 to 30, I'd expect. And 5.5 assists is not too much for him.
Where can the people find you, Beltway Ben Hall? And also, most importantly, is there a stream going on?
At VH Journalist on Twitter. I've said there's been a stream the past few weeks, and then Saturdays have gotten busy. But there will definitely be a stream this Saturday at 11 a.m. at VH Journalist on Twitter.
All right.
Love it.
It will be live.
And also,
I'll be watching it from Mateo's baseball practice.
Appreciate that.
Also, another edition of the Fresh Take tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, tonight.
Absolutely. 6 to 8. We are the appetizer, Jason. To the main course.
We're just setting
that
the table.
That is Ben Hall and Cordell Woodland. Before we step out, you can't keep these birds down, man.
And it's their time of year.
8-run ninth inning gave the Orioles a 13-10 lead in the bottom of the ninth. Dylan Beavers hit a home run. Judd Fabian doubled. Maverick Hanley doubled. The Machine drove in some runs. We will get back into Orioles baseball at the bottom of the hour. Mike Bordick, Oriole Hall of Famer, member of Baltimore Baseball tonight, and also has a new podcast with Jerry Coleman. Bordy will be joining us at 4:30. But coming up next, we're going to take your calls on the Ravens. Jason gave you the spending habits, or lack thereof, of the Ravens since 2017. Is that a big issue for you? We also did a six-pack in the 3 o'clock hour, six things that the Ravens should do differently this year. What should the Ravens do differently this offseason to put them over the top? 410-583-1057. We'll take your calls next.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Next on the Fan. Ravens have won a lot of games these past couple of years, but they have not won the big game. And we did a six-pack earlier in the show, the six things that the Ravens need to change this offseason to try to get over the hump. If you have any ideas what you'd like to see the Ravens do differently, 410-583-1057. You can join us now. Heck, do you want to just keep it status quo and hope that they somehow, the football gods smile on them? 410-583-1057. Maybe one of those differences, and it was your number one, Jason, the fact of spending. They need to spend more. And we put out a poll earlier on IA1057 The Fan on Twitter. Ravens high behind a soft salary cap at Eagles 2024 payroll was $65 million higher than the Ravens, who ranked 27th. Bishotti got a sweetheart stadium deals from the state, but since 2017 had a top 10 payroll once, ranked 21st or lower four times. Is that sufficient, Ravens flock? Is that really all in? 700 votes in. Try harder, Steve, 64%. This is just right, 36%.
I mean, if it's all about him getting one more ring before he sells this thing for, geez, I don't know. He bought in at like $700 million, and this thing's got to be worth
that much.
Was it $750 or I think I thought that the original buy-in and then the second sort of payment when he took over, it was certainly, I think, less than a billion.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to sell this thing for, I don't know, $5.5 billion. I mean, with all the upgrades to the practice facility and all the upgrades to the stadium and the lease secured and the ability to get out of the lease again earlier than I think most people, if I'm a Ravens fan, would like, so that they can shake down the government again. So the new guy or gal will know that, boy, I got an opportunity to get some more, get my hand out there as well. I mean, for all that he's going to reap from this, I don't think it's too much to ask for him to be in the top 10 in spending most years. If they're going to build themselves as the team they claim to be, right? And one that, oh, geez, the only reason we're not winning the Super Bowl every year is because of the dastardly cap. You can go as far over the cap as you want to go. This guy's not very willing to do it, period, point blank, end of story. And as much as they like to tell parables over there, you haven't heard them telling the lie about cash over cap very much. At least not nearly as much as they used to, because again, they're not going nearly as over as most teams in the league, and they're not even in the top 20 in spending most years since 2017.
He purchased it for $650.
Okay, million. So it's 750.
Yeah, so. $650 million. But with this Ravens team, something that they have at least leaned into and which they haven't in years past is voidable years, and it's something that they're going to have to continue to lean into this year if they want to continue to add to this team, because even guys like a Kyle Hamilton, Tyler Linderbaum, giving them a contract extension, that's going to up their cap hit because they're not making any money right now, as opposed to Lamar Jackson, where that would save you cap space. But this, according to overthecap.com, void years, most cap dollars currently in void years. Eagles by far and away first place, $390.4 million. Next closest, the 49ers at $204.1 million. That's a different stratosphere the Eagles are in. The Ravens, they are 11th, right on the outside of the top 10, but $50.8 million in voidable years.
I mean, again, if you want to play the cap, the cap game, we can. But in terms of cash, only one team spent more money than the Philadelphia Eagles last year, and it was the Cleveland Browns.
But that's a method to spending over cap, is those voidable years, playing with that.
If you're as good at finding players as they are, and as they thump their chest about being, why would you not want to give your football people more margin for error for good and for bad by spending another $25 to $30 million a year than you've been willing to do? I mean, imagine what, but again, a team that is this good, what one or two more quality starters might mean to your overall product. Would that be the difference in January and February in getting you over the top? I mean, don't knock it till you try it. But again, the Philadelphia Eagles, five players last year making $21 million or more. The Ravens had two. Philadelphia Eagles, 9 players making $15 million or more. The Ravens had 3. That's a huge chasm. That is a big, big difference. These guys want to preach value and quantity and number of comp picks and number of overall picks. And all that's great. But it's hard, as they've said, to win at the draft. And it takes some luck. And everybody's gotten better at it. And sitting out the first wave of free agency, I get it. And there's a lot of fool's gold there. Then you better get back to manipulating the high-end trade market. Because
that's where I'm at.
They've got to find ways to take on bigger contracts and make it work. And it exists. And other teams are doing it. But you got to want to have the spend first.
That's where I'm at. And we brought up Max Crosby yesterday, where that would take some serious draft capital and it would take some serious money, because acquiring him, he's going to want a new deal. That to me, and do I think they're going to do it? No. But that would be the big aggressive swing that I would want to see. And this has been an organizational philosophy going back to 1996, where they typically do not take a ton of big swings in free agency. Occasionally, yes. What they do, and we have seen this pretty consistently the entire time, they're not letting those mega stars leave the building. And that can go back to the Ray Lewis's, the Ed Reed, Suggs, Nada, Heap, and then to
and
now.
And no good franchise does, because the cap is fungible. It's not a real hard cap. And they created these artificial measures in these transition tags and franchise tags that get to let you keep your best guys from hitting the market when they should have earned the right to hit the market. So, like, I'm not going to bend over and applaud them for that. That's the bare minimum. That's the teams that are at least trying, right? That gets you in the mix. That's the bare minimum if you draft and develop well to keep you in the mix. But is that going to be enough to knock out Andy Reid? Because what's Andy Reid doing right now? He went to the marketplace, found the best offensive lineman available interior 3 years ago in Joe Tooney, paid a guard like a tackle to get him, right? And now when everybody thought they're going to let their guard leave, because you can't pay your left guard, your center, and your right guard, they franchise him.
And what's also important about that is it's under one umbrella. You're talking an offensive line franchise tag. So Trey Smith has the leverage because he's making a lot more than a guard makes on the tag. He's due to make $23 million.
But they're telling you, after they went further than the Ravens but still didn't get where they want to get, we're okay having the highest paid left guard in the league, the highest paid center, and the highest paid right guard, because we think it's that important to address our systematic failures so that we can get back where we want to go. Yet here we talk about, oh, there can't be money for Queen and Roquan. Oh, there can't be money for Likely and Andrews. Oh, there couldn't have been money if Stevens didn't bottom out for Stevens and Marlin. I'm just telling you, not everybody thinks small-minded like that. And I'm talking about teams that actually do win regularly in the playoffs.
I think that's why it was my number one, where being more aggressive with this draft capital and not being beholden to the comp pick formula. That's where I would like to see more aggressiveness. They have had really good rosters these past 2 seasons. They have had really good rosters. No one is denying that at all. But it hasn't been good enough. Now, I understand it's self-inflicted things, but everyone and their mother knows they need defensive playmakers. When they went from forcing the most turnovers in football in 2023 to towards the bottom last year, and that's only one area, but coming up next, we're going to get back into the Orioles. Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick, part of our Baltimore Baseball Tonight coverage, part of the Be More Baseball podcast with Jerry Coleman, will be joining us. We've been kicking around the idea. Cedric Mullins, would you like to see him more in the leadoff role against righties this year? We'll get Bordy's thoughts on that next.
If I want to be in this game, I think I told them I want to be the Black Brooks Robinson in the organization and just be around this organization to my dying day. I mean, I think that I can, you know, this generation, I can grow old with this generation, and I think I can teach this young generation the core values and same thing. So obviously just want to get my feet wet within the organization and learn and just learn. That's the number one thing, is I have to learn the way that they do their business, and then, you know, try and just see where I fit in and help where I can help.
That was Adam Jones on the first episode of the Be More Baseball podcast with Jerry Coleman and Mike Bordick, who joins us now.
Are we sure it's not shouldn't be Mike Bordick with Jerry Coleman? That's,
well,
are
we sure? I wanted to make the easy transition.
Are we sure about that,
there?
Bone?
Well, Bordy, first off, how long are you going to be able to keep put up with Jerry? I mean, are you? Do you know what you're getting into?
Oh my gosh, I feel like I've known him forever. You know, he's been in Baltimore since back when I was playing. So I guess I've had to deal with him, and I'm excited to actually deal with him now because he's pretty knowledgeable, and we love talking baseball. And of course, the Orioles are the team to talk about right now with so many young superstars.
Well, and you know, Jerry, he speaks truth to power now. Like Jerry's not one to back away from a fight or
tough questions.
Exactly, or be too scared to ask the tough questions. Are you prepared to be grilled by him on a weekly basis?
Well, I'm prepared to be the buffer. I just hope he doesn't upset our guest.
No promises there, Bordy.
Yeah, yeah. I did a podcast with him for years, and Godspeed. Nah, he's good.
Well, Bordy, let's get to the O's. And something that we've been bringing up, Cedric Mullins, who got off to a rough start last year, but from June, July on, finished really strong and scored the only run that the Orioles scored in that playoff series. Could we see Cedric Mullins more in the leadoff role against right-handed starting pitching again this year?
Oh, boy. You know, no, I don't think so. I think Gunnar's going to be right there at the top. Hopefully his side's okay. I haven't heard the latest report on that. But, you know, there may be times when Cedric goes to the top of the order if the numbers just kind of play in his favor. But Cedric, I think, is really, you know, a perfect number nine hitter with great speed at the bottom. And when he's on, wow, can he be disruptive. I think a lot of times when you look at lineups, the lower third, man, they come through in big games. And I think Cedric has that speed, the ability to turn the lineup back over, be on base for Gunnar and all the rest of the big bats. So I see him settling in more there, to be honest with you.
Bordy, we had former Orioles bench coach Freddie Gonzalez on with us right around a week ago this time. And I asked him about Tommy Pham, who's a guy we talked a lot about on this show last year, as someone who might come in and change the energy in that clubhouse and hold people to account a little bit different, or some other veterans with some edge who might have made a difference. And I want to play for you what Freddie Gonzalez said to us, and then if you wouldn't mind, you respond to it.
I was politicking to get Pham myself.
Wow.
You know, I'm like, oh man, hopefully, you know, nobody asked me or any kind of question, but just talking amongst his coaches and talking with Brandon, it's like, man, I would love to get Tommy Pham in here. You know, first of all, this guy is he's going to command respect just by walking in the room. He's been there. He's done that. There's no BS to him, mm-hmm. You know, and I would have loved to have that. A guy like that in the last 2 months and going into the postseason last year. We didn't get him, but I think he would have helped. But I was right there with you guys. You know, I was right there with you guys. I was hoping every day when I walked into the door, I was like, okay, do we get Tommy today?
Yeah. Hey, I love those words. You know, I think, to be honest with you, that's just coming from a baseball guy that knows what a clubhouse needs to get them over the top. And young players need that type of look, that type of guidance. They're so impactful because they're extreme. They're extreme competitors. They're extreme baseball-aholics. They're athletes. They get after the game the way it's supposed to be. Now, at times they can become a little disruptive, mm-hmm. but it's only because of their competitive nature. That's the way I feel, and I think it rubs people the wrong way. Young guys need to see that and not be scared of it. That they need to be led by that at times. Some of the most influential teammates I ever had, and to be honest with you, I never even played with him. I played with him in spring training. Tony Phillips jumped my ass one time so hard that it changed the way I played the game.
Wow.
I just paid more attention to the detail of everything, how I flipped the ball with purpose and intent, and because of one player and his intensity and the way he looked at me and scared the crap out of me. It just made me focus on the detail of the game every time.
So with that in mind, Bordy, we followed up with Freddie and said, you're obviously not in the organization now, but you're still boys with Hyder. Are you shocked that they didn't really add anybody with that sort of presence? And he said he was. You know, I mean, O'Neill's going to be a platoon guy, right? I mean, if Heston's who they think he's going to be, mashing right-handed pitching from the left side, then O'Neill is a platoon guy. And Gary Sanchez, we hope, is not catching more than one day a week, right? Because we think Adley's going to be able to walk and chew gum and hit and catch at the same time this year. Then I ask you, do you find it odd that they really have sort of categorically ignored that whole part of roster construction again?
Well, I to be honest with you, I think they're trying. I know they're not bringing in the edgy veterans, but they're bringing in good quality veteran guys that have been around, seen the game from different angles and lenses and experienced those type of Tommy fan players in the clubhouse, right? Good or bad, but may have kind of good ideas and reference. Listen, to be honest with you, I think they're being careful with their young guys. They want them brought up the right way. They want them to grow to be leaders their own way, to be honest with you. And I think they're letting them kind of run it how they think it's supposed to go. But at some point, I you know, maybe at the trade deadline, this is when they get that half-year influential guy that just makes the impact to put a team right over the top. You know what I mean? Like a Frank Robinson, maybe. Let's go. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you, brother. I'm not sure they do, but I hear you.
Well, I think they've positioned themselves properly. I really do. I think they've created enough depth to where I think, you know, they're just a better organization, a better team depth-wise, which you need to make it into the postseason and make a run. And I also think and pray that they learned from last year that when you get into a position, and I believe they're going to be the best team the first half. I really do. I think they're going to come out guns a-blazing and just dominate like they did last year, play better than everybody else. And when the trade deadline comes, I just think aggressive is the name of the game and do what you can to hoist the trophy. And we'll make our adjustments down the road, but we got to hoist this trophy this year.
We're speaking to Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. It's Inside Access on the Fan. Well, Bordy, Jackson Holliday seems like he's a lot more comfortable at second base this go-around. Everyone's talking about. And then, of course, him at the plate with the toe tap adjusting. What are you expecting out of Jackson this season?
I expect adjustments, just constant adjustments, man. The game just doesn't overnight appear and say, oh, there it is. There's the big league. The guy that it's just every day, constant adjustments, constant grind, constant studying and tweaking. I mean, look, you guys, we all saw Cal Ripken do it his whole career. He changed, and that's what's going to have to happen. Yeah, it may work in spring, and he may come out of spring training feeling just like he did last year, hitting 500, best hitter on the team. But then start of the season, what happens if all of a sudden they pitch him completely different than they pitched in his spring training? He's seeing, a different approach, and it's strike three. You got to make an adjustment. So that's what the game is. And for young guys, it's harder. And let's just hope the learning curve is a little bit quicker this year.
He's Mike Bordick. I'm pumped up for Baltimore baseball tonight. Less than a month away, Bordy. But in the meantime, you got the Be More Baseball podcast with our buddy Jerry Comey. Yeah. You just had your first episode with Adam Jones. If people didn't hear it, what can we expect?
Man, Adam was great, right? And I think Adam's got a bright future ahead of him here in Baltimore with the Orioles. I don't know about you guys, but I see front office kind of stuff in the future. You know, what I think is a great part of our show is we have Dr. Michael Jacobs on the end, and he's talking about the injuries and how common are these injuries nowadays. He's former Oriole doc, geez, back when I was playing, and even up through the Elias time. So, you know, he's got great knowledge, and I think this is going to be great for listeners to understand injuries more and maybe get a better idea of what they're going through and the prospect of coming back healthy. All that good stuff. I mean, we talked about Batista and Bradish. man, do the Orioles need those two guys to be healthy this year, don't they? I mean, how about Bradish coming back, you know, possibly the second half of the season and being, don't we hope he's like the Cy Young Bradish kind of guy? What a lift that would be. Man. So.
Bordy.
Fingers crossed.
You're
Bordy,
the man.
Fingers crossed.
We'll listen. Be More Baseball Podcast. You can find it anywhere. Bordy, thank you as always.
All right. Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Thank
I'll
you, brother.
You,
you got
right,
it.
Man.
We're going to keep the Oriole talk rolling for the next half hour. Andy Kosko covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. He's going to be joining us at the top of the hour. Grayson Rodriguez, he's made an adjustment pitching-wise. We'll tell you next, all the young dudes. Also, we'll recap today's Orioles crazy come-from-behind win. Who are the standouts? We'll give them to you next on The Fan. Jason, you can't keep this team down in February. You can't.
This month, I hope it lasts forever.
They entered the ninth inning against the Twins, trailing 10-5. You're thinking, I'm throwing the towel.
It's get over. On the bus. Get on the road. I mean, it's a road game.
Yeah,
it's a B game. You're down big.
No, not the February
birds. No quitting
birds.
These guys.
Not one, not two, not three, not four. 8 runs scored in the ninth inning. Orioles took down the Twins 13-10, some standouts in it. Jackson Holliday, he went 2-for-3 with a homer. Jason Colton Cowser, he had a hit, as did Heston Kerstad as well.
Well, and then, look, some of these young kids.
Beavers.
Yeah, who are not going to be in the immediate plans, but are certainly key trade pieces or depth pieces. Yes, Judd Fabian had himself a couple of quality at-bats. Dylan Beavers driving in runs along with Fabian in that comeback. Daz Cameron, who had a really good spring for the Orioles last year, continues to deliver. Yeah, I mean, Eflin got his first work in of the spring. Suarez got roughed up. You know, I'm not really going to worry about that yet. If Suarez is starting games this year, then they either haven't put a good enough roster together and or they've suffered a bunch of injuries. But look, Jackson Holliday leading off games, getting on base, stealing bases, showing some of that energy that's in his profile, that kid who can bring some electricity and make the pitcher and the catcher hopefully a little uncomfortable and open some things up for other people. Like, I need to see that element. That's a big part of why he was a 1-1, and it's something that they did not lean into at all at the major league level last year. We know there's some pop there. So, you know, and he should be in these B games, and he should be playing a lot. You know, he should be playing 4 times a week at least. And, especially while they're only playing, you know, half a game, while they're subbing people in and out and exclusively at second base, which is what we've seen. No Gunner today. I don't think there'll be any Gunner this weekend. I mean, I don't know why you would even remotely mess around with a potential oblique, even though it looks like they dodged a bullet.
I have Hyde's quote. We do not have the audio, Jason.
Yeah, why would you make that available down there from Sarasota? Why would a team do that?
Hyde's quote. We took him out for precautionary reasons on that ball that Bichette hit. He kind of just landed on his side, and it just felt a little sore in there. First inning of a spring training game in February, we felt like the best thing to do was just let him go inside, look at it, and relax. We'll continue to monitor it and see how he is tomorrow. There was no MRI scheduled.
Yeah, keep him off his feet and let this thing, and however much it flared up, flare down, and that's what this time of year is for. But I said it before, I'll say it again. I do find it interesting that a team that invested this much draft capital in shortstops has one kid that they've developed inside the organization that they trust at shortstop.
And that's it.
I do find that a little interesting.
Grayson Rodriguez also made his spring debut, and his modified delivery made its spring debut as well. This is Matt, courtesy of Matt Wyrick, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Sun, his blurb in the paper. In addition to his new pitch, Rodriguez is also getting used to a new delivery this spring. After finishing last season on the IL with a lat strain, an injury he suffered twice in the past 3 years, the right-hander has modified his mechanics to put less stress on the muscles by starting his throwing motion from a higher position.
Look, that's been a recurring issue with him. And when something, you know, is put your season at risk twice in a 3 or 4 year span, and it's a similar injury, and it was perceived to be fairly innocuous in both instances when it originally was suffered, then I think it certainly bears significant monitoring, and it bears some attempted adjustments being made. So I'm glad they're being forthright about that. I hope it's something that sticks and becomes a factor, because the way they've built this, barring them eventually adding something close to a number one starter or a starter better than anything they have right now, short of them doing that, I have a hard time seeing them threading the needle and being the team they want to be without Grayson Rodriguez hitting the post 27, 30 times this year.
We got one more hour to go before we hand it over to Ben and Cordell with the Fresh Take, 6 to 8 on the Fan. At 5:15, we're going to get back into the Terps. They're taking on Penn State tomorrow. They're 4.5-point favorites on the road, Jason. But boy, have they struggled at Penn State. 7 straight L's at Penn State.
That ends tomorrow.
They've been ranked in 4 of those 7 games, including being ranked 4th in the country in the 2019-20 season, and they still lost. So they're going to change it tomorrow. They're going to change it tomorrow. I'm with you, Jason. But we're going to keep the O's talk rolling on the other side with Andy Koska, who covers the O's for the Baltimore Banner. We'll ask Andy about Grayson Rodriguez's new delivery and his expectations for the season. That's next on The Fan.
One night, one goal. Stop suicide. Register today for AFSP's 30th overnight walk in New York City, June 21st, as we walk 16 miles from dusk till dawn to stop suicide. Start your journey today at theovernight.org.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.